Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, indeed. It's Friday night again, and we've got the garage open late just for you right here at the Frat House Sports Radio Studios. And we're out in the back, in the Frat House Sports Garage, and we're going to sit here for the next 90 minutes or so, and we're going to sit around. We're going to chit-chat about, don't think we're working. I mean, it's more like this. I mean, seriously, come on, let's get it straight. That's what it's more like. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We're going to be sitting around here talking about racing, and specifically NASCAR racing, as we came off of last week's second trip for the season to Daytona. Well, and you know, Daytona, I talk about the big tracks, and I love the big tracks. I prefer the bigger tracks. I like the speedways. I like all the excitement that goes with it. I love the speed. I think that's awesome. And there was a lot of anticipation as to what we might potentially see going into that one after we had seen, the previous one and, with the changes in the cars and what have you, would they stay on the track? How did it all end up? Well, it ended up, that was the pesky boy that won that one last week. Brad Keselowski gets his third of the season. And now, don't look now, but that puts him at the top of the leaderboard. Just a couple of points ahead of Kyle Busch, who also has three wins. So
another Toyota.
Hashtag pesky boys.
Not another Toyota.
Hashtag pesky boys. Yeah. Well, and listen. So how did the race go? Well, the race went 1-2. Keselowski, Kyle Busch. How are the standings right now? Well, it's 1-2. Keselowski, Kyle Busch, and we're heading to Kentucky, and who dominates Kentucky so far? Now, mind you, we've only had five races there so far at Kentucky. But who's dominated Kentucky? Keselowski, Kyle Busch. Are you seeing a pattern here, folks? Are you seeing a pattern? I am. All right, we're going to get into all of that. With all the talk last week about can we keep the cars on the track and all that kind of stuff and restrictor plate and, oh, my gosh, cars are going to be flying in the air and four wide and five wide and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got to be honest with you. There was one big 22-car wreck at about lap 89, which, that thinned the herd out quite nicely, I'm going to be honest with you. But really, when it comes right down to it, after all the hype that had been coming into Daytona this past last week, I actually thought, I was anticipating, I was getting ready for a lot more than just that one. And so therefore, I think in the end, everybody's got to pretty much feel like, we came out of this, pretty unscathed, I guess, perhaps, unless maybe you're Matt Kenseth or Kevin Harvick or Tony Stewart, but I mean, it could have been a lot worse. That's basically my point. We'll get into all of that. Hey, it's Friday night as well. We'll be joined in here, I guess, in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes or so, by Chris Jacoli of the Motorsports News Source. He'll be jumping in with us as we are going to take a look at, as I pointed out, we're heading to Sparta. We're heading to Kentucky, where all it ever does there at this time of year is rain. And that's what it did this evening, washing out qualifying. But we'll be joined in here by Christian, like I said, in about 20 minutes or so, and we'll get into chit-chatting about Daytona and Kentucky and the current standings. Oh, you know, NASCAR had nothing to do this week, so they just decided to make a few rules changes. What the hell? Hey, they decided to fine a few guys, you know, for dumb tweets. We'll get into that. And, you know, in all of this, when it comes right down to it, probably what they should be addressing, big problems that they should be addressing, like things like practice time. Well, NASCAR is not addressing that. We're going to do inspections during practice time, and that way you'll lose your practice. Yeah. These are just some of the things we'll get into this evening. And like I said, we're heading to Kentucky for tomorrow's big race. If anybody wants to jump in here with us, please don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here at the Frat House Sports Radio Studios. Try Skype. Give it a shot if you're Skype capable. See if that puts you through to us loud and clear. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter. Always checking Twitter. Check it all the time during the show. Always checking my notifications. Let's get the rest of the mechanics in here. Got Sidekick. You already heard from a little bit there as he's hashtagging things already. I guess he's on Twitter. And Brandon as well.
Guys, hello,
what
hello.
Are we doing tonight? What's going on tonight?
It sounds like a lot of rain in Kentucky.
Yeah, there was.
No qualifying. Is the Xfinity Series with them too? Because usually on a Saturday night, you'd have a Friday night race.
I wonder
if that's effective.
Well, no. I think what they did, let me check this. They moved things
Or are they
going to
do Xfinity to Sunday?
No, they moved things around. I've got the schedule. What they did was, qualifying was actually scheduled, if I'm not mistaken, for 6:45 this evening. And so they had, hold on a second. They had, I can get the schedule up here. They had qualifying scheduled for 6:45. I believe that was to follow, if I'm not mistaken. Let's see here. Friday. The race will be going on at 8:30 this evening.
The Xfinity.
The Xfinity race will be going on at 8:30 this evening. What they did was, and I believe that's the proper schedule. What they did was they canceled qualifying so that they could have practice. That's what they did. To allow for practice, they canceled qualifying because qualifying was originally scheduled for 6:45 this evening. And right now, Sprint Cup practice is going on right now in its place. So what they did was they just moved things around. I guess they can do that.
So essentially the practice times will become qualifying, right? Isn't that
what
they do?
Well, unless these new rules are going to take effect that we're going to talk about here this evening. Where I think what they're going to be using is they use and Sidekick, do you have any better sense on this? From the way I read it, the rules changes that they put into effect this week from this point until until they decide to change it again. Hold on a second. Let me get the I wasn't planning on getting into this just yet. We were going to have this a little bit later in the show. But let me get this up so I have what
the
rules
are. Oh, yeah, because I was just getting ready to hijack the show again.
Go ahead.
So, you know, like we did last night, completely take it off the rails.
Owner points will determine starting order. Owner points.
Well, that's the way it used to be. They're going back in time now.
NASCAR made
that was always the way
it's throwback. It's Throwback Thursday. We're going back to the old rules. Hashtag Throwback Thursday.
Well, and how appropriate that was, because apparently this announcement about these rule changes came out yesterday. NASCAR made a pair of small but significant rules changes pertaining to qualifying at Sprint Cup race series, Sprint Cup series races. From now on, until we notify you next week, parenthetically, if qualifying is rained out or canceled for weather issues, current year team owner points for both charter and open teams will determine who makes the race. Up until now, practice speeds were used to see who got in and who didn't. Owner points will also determine the starting order. For example, if qualifying is rained out at Kentucky, oh, isn't that interesting that we were anticipating it, on Friday, Kevin Harvick would start on the pole, flanked by Brad Keselowski. Also, if an open team makes a chase for the NASCAR Sprint Cup, that team is guaranteed a starting spot in each of the chase races. The open team that could benefit most from these changes is Wood Brothers Racing. Ryan Blaney is 15th right now in driver points and is the only open team driver with a strong shot at making the chase at the moment. So those are the rules changes that were put in, that were announced just yesterday. There you go. So there you have it. We're not going to go by practice times today. We're not going by that at all, because right now, in fact, based on the qualifying order that I sent out to you guys just before we went to air, what's the qualifying order for tomorrow? Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Joey Logano, Carl Edwards. There's your top five. Owner points. That's what we're using. Now, you know, you guys are both old school, so I throw it out to you. And Sidekick, you're joking. It's, you know, hashtag TBT. Do you like it? I don't.
Sidekick?
You know, I'm kind of non-committal about it. I don't know if I really, yeah. You know.
I think it should be determined by what the car is doing on the track. On that track,
well,
that time, at that time. That's what it should be determined by.
Yeah, but you're talking about practice.
Here we go.
You queue up the Allen Iverson. Practice.
Got it.
We're talking about practice.
Oh, you got it.
He's been waiting to roll that out.
I got it. I had it up at the top. I knew tonight we were going to be talking about.
We're talking about practice.
I knew it.
I wonder, was this designed to benefit like an open team like Ryan Blaney? Is that the point of the change?
I don't think so. Because it's two different rules.
Right? Are they throwing the Wood Brothers a bone?
Well, yeah. I mean, if they're going by owner's points, let's just say, for example, they had, you know, a bad practice day. Well, then, you know, this guarantees the Wood Brothers, you know, a race. Although, to be quite honest with you, we haven't had more than 40 cars since, what, the Daytona 500, right? We haven't sent anybody home from any races. So I don't understand why even bother messing with qualifying. You know, it makes no sense.
No, we've had some qualifying.
Well, that's
NASCAR. We've had some qualifying lists that were over 40.
Okay.
There have been drivers that were cut before the race. Not many.
Okay. Hasn't been a lot.
Yeah, no, there haven't been many, but there have been a couple. There have been a handful.
Didn't we have a couple 39s too?
Early in the season, there might have been one or two, yes.
All right.
Yeah, I thought we had like a 37, 38.
We haven't been down that low.
I thought we were
in sprint.
We haven't been down that low.
I'll have to go back and look. I thought we were missing a few. One or two tracks. And it was on that West Coast swing.
No, I mean, I got to be honest, I don't watch every Xfinity race, so like Brandon says, not in sprint. In sprint cup,
yeah,
I think
Xfinity is only 38 or 36 to begin with, and there's only 32 in the truck, I think. I think the truck's 32, is that right? Or is that 36? Maybe that one's 36 and Xfinity's 38. I know the starting fields as you go down a series do decrease.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, by design. I think they know pretty much what they need to get, you know, a full field. It almost makes me wonder if that was part of the reason they went from 43 to 40 in Sprint Cup. I think they had a feeling they weren't going to get anywhere near 43 cars, so they figured we'll cut it down to 40 so we save face.
Well, I think wasn't some of the motivation on all of that to the introduction of the charter?
Yeah, the charter and to stop the start in parks or discourage it anyway. Yeah, there's a couple of reasons for it, but I don't see how cutting the field from 43 to 40 helps the charter cars. I mean, you still have the same number of charter cars. There's still, 36 charters? So, you know, I don't see how that affects them in either way. All that affects is how many open drivers can make the race, bottom feeders, as we call them.
I think that by the introduction of the charter, that was an automatic deterrent for the start in parks. And so, therefore, NASCAR had a sense that they weren't going to get a 43 field. So why don't we just shorten it to 40 now, proactively ahead of time? That's my point. You understand what I'm saying?
I agree with you. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they had a sense that they weren't going to get the 43.
Right.
And rather than, you know, have every reporter in the world ask the question every week, we'll cut that off right now.
We'll do it right now. Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah, so I think that was the whole motivation to go anyway.
There's the reasoning anyhow, and I'm going to be honest with you. Like I said, for one, I don't like it. I don't like that rule change, you know.
I don't dislike it. I just think it's not needed. I don't see the reasoning. What's the big deal? We're not sending that many home from the racetrack. I don't understand why we got to change from the way it was back to the way it used to be. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, I'm sure they've outlined it, but I don't know.
Oh, because it was Throwback Thursday.
Yeah, well. I guess NASCAR's not happy if they're not changing something every other week.
Yeah. Exactly.
They got to keep everybody on their toes.
Let's see who's reading social media this week.
Right.
That's what it's all about. NASCAR plays a game with us every week. Let's see who's reading social media. Last week, there goes another one of your pesky boys, Sidekick. You must have been happy about that one, huh? Kyle Busch comes in second, you know. So, interesting top 10, actually. I'm going to be honest with you. And listen, once you had 22.
Well,
once you had 20.
You have to.
Right. Once you had 22 cars taken out of the field.
You know. That's why you always see some weird, some bottom feeder, as Brandon called it. You know, you'll have him finish top 10 at Daytona or Talladega or whatever, and you're like, how in the world did he finish that good? And you hear there was a 22-car pileup.
Right.
You know,
then
you're wondering
why your fantasy team sucks so badly. I mean, you know.
Oh, my God. watching the Facebook feed on last Saturday night was hilarious. And there goes my team. You know, and then, you know, there's Barb. Well, my team's up in smoke, and, you know, everybody's all these people just going on. Oh, there goes my team. That's why I always say, man, we go to restrictor plate. You might as well throw darts at a dartboard half the time.
I mean, sure, there are those guys that you know run well and that, and typically can avoid danger, if you know what I mean. But, you know, if it happens, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, it doesn't matter who, you know, that big one is, you know, doesn't discriminate whatsoever. I mean, you know, the names that were in that wreck, you know, Jimmy Johnson, Tony Stewart, you know, they're
Kevin,
you know,
Harvick.
Yep, so, but
absolutely.
Hey, you know,
well,
it happens. And, you know, I was going to mention, now that I go back to it, I was going to say, isn't that one of the reasons why we got into watching racing? I mean, sure, we watch it as a sport. We like the, you know, the races are exciting and stuff like that. But, you know, there's this inner part of you that, you know, that especially at these, you know, the restrictor plate tracks, you're just waiting for the big one. Like,
no,
anytime you see somebody, you
don't.
Oh, dude.
I sit there.
I'm
gonna be honest with
you. Anytime the camera shows somebody get a little squirrely in a pack, I'm like on the edge of my seat, like,
well, I
oh,
you.
It's going down. I'm wringing my hands. I'm like, come on, baby.
I hear you. And I'm going to be honest with you. I, for one, take great exception to the people that do not understand NASCAR in particular. And look, I've pointed this out many times before. I still consider myself a new NASCAR follower, a new one. You know, I've only
Greenhorn.
Been following NASCAR for about 6 years or so.
He's
but
still
I
got
tell
the
you
yellow
right
sticker
now,
on his bumper.
Exactly. Well, yeah, exactly. But no, I take exception to the people out there that say that the only reason that people watch NASCAR is to see the wrecks. I don't watch to see the wrecks. I do not. In fact, sometimes I find the wrecks to be a distraction. I find the wrecks to be, you know, we know this as well as anything. I mean, just look at last week's Daytona race. It changes the entire outcome of the race. 22 cars are involved in that, mm-hmm. in that mishap. And, you know, you've got all these, you know, Trevor Bayne gets third. Ricky Stenhouse gets fifth. Good for him. Kyle Larson up at sixth, seventh. Austin Dillon. Greg Biffle gets an eight. Michael McDowell gets a 10. I mean, you're seeing some drivers' names up there, as I just pointed out, that you would not see under normal circumstances. No, I do not watch racing. I don't watch any form of racing. I don't watch open wheel to see wrecks. And I take exception to people that claim that the only reason people that watch that stuff is to see the wrecks. I hear what you're saying, Sidekick. I respect if that's what you enjoy, but that's not one of my motivations.
Well, I'm not saying that's the whole reason I watch racing.
But it's not even a minor motivation.
You know, there's a little bit, you know, there's a little bit in you that kind of has that, you know, some people. You know, like me, that, you know, kind of, you know, okay. Yeah. There's a wreck. All right.
Well,
yeah, and then
I go look at my
fancy
says
team.
A guy
and then
who
start...
never, says the guy who never built anything to take to the racetrack. All the hours and time they put into these cars.
Well,
they don't want to see them wrecked.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, from a as a fantasy team owner, you know, I don't want to see, you know, like I said, you know, everybody was going, you know, oh, my team's broke, you know. But, you know, there's that, you know, side of me that, you know, as my fiance says, the death and destruction side of me that, you know, can't turn away from a disaster, you know. You're talking about the same guy that sits here during hurricane season with the Weather Channel on 24/7, waiting for hurricanes to come strike the U.S. coastline, you know? Oh, you know, guy, you know, the guy that goes out, you know, he's out in St. Louis, and, you know, he's damn near live tweeting, you know, tornadoes running down his block. You know.
Oh,
I
man.
A little bit of it, a little adrenaline junkie in him.
No, and I understand you, and I got you, and I understand. You're saying that's not your main motivation. Right. It's not any of my motivation. But, you know, it is what it is. Now, that doesn't mean that when they don't happen, you know, I'm not sitting there like, you know, analyzing, you know, as we have a tendency to do. We go back and we analyze, you know, who did what? What happened? Who, you know, who started? Okay. All that kind of stuff that they love to do on television. You know, yeah, sure. I'm involved in that. I'm following it. But, hey, no, it's not my motivation. All right, let's do this. It's Friday night, so let's get our good friend Christian Coley in here from the editor of the Motorsports News Source. Everybody, please get over to the Motorsports News Source on Facebook and give him a like over there, and then check out all his writings over at the motorsportsnewssource.blogspot.com. Christian, how are we doing tonight?
We're doing good.
We were just sitting here chatting about Keselowski's third win down at Daytona, the big one, 22 cars taken out. You know, there was a lot of anticipation about, hey, are we going to be able to keep these cars on the track? Because we had seen a lot of cars coming off the tracks at the restrictor plates, et cetera. With the exception of the one really big wreck, I frankly thought that the race was kind of uneventful, right?
I just know the ending was pretty eventful for me. But that's because of who finished in 10th.
I was bringing that up earlier. I was actually bringing that up.
And
Michael McDowell.
On your advice, Christian, I actually put him on my fantasy roster.
Let's just say Michael McDowell is going to give me a heart attack Saturday night. He's sitting there in third, and I'm thinking he's got a chance to win this thing. What's your problem Saturday night was nobody could get past Keselowski. Keselowski had an excellent car, great race for the team, and I was excited to see Brad finally get a Daytona win. I said Michael McDowell really, really did give me a heart attack. Another one that gave me a pretty good heart attack was certainly a lot of the underfunded teams throughout the whole race were missing the wrecks and all that, and not many of those were fortunate, but there's a lot of them that were fortunate and really came out with great finishes that should bring in some sponsorships for them.
Gotcha. Unfortunately, your Matt DiBenedetto didn't fare too well.
No.
You knew I was going to bring that up, Christian. You knew I had to,
yeah,
right?
You know, I forgot last weekend was Daytona, and I thought we were already at Bristol. So, my bad, my fault.
Yeah, it's all good fun. I'm not laughing at you.
Yeah.
We're having good fun. But yeah, you knew I had to get that. I had to get that little jab in there.
I was happy for some of the premiums cars this weekend getting some good finishes also. There was a lot of good teams making good finishes. I was really impressed with David Gilliland. Not even running a full season, they noted that, and I was like, that's pretty cool. Hopefully somebody will notice him and put him in the ride. But I don't see him in a full time ride anytime soon because he'll focus on his son's racing, and I respect that. Makes sense. In most cases this year, we've seen that the son normally does better than the father in almost some aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Like with Ryan Blaney, Dave Blaney never really did very much in NASCAR, and then Ryan Blaney comes in, he's a
yep.
force to be reckoned with.
Yep. No doubt about it. And, you know, the interesting thing is that at the moment right now, and mind you, we still have 9 races remaining. Chase Elliott is a good 50 points ahead of him for Rookie of the Year. But, you know, in another year, if Chase Elliott's not in there, Ryan Blaney's probably Rookie of the Year. You know,
yes.
I mean, which has made the Rookie of the Year thing kind of really interesting this year. But, and that's not to say this can't change yet, because like I said, there's still 9 races remaining. And Blaney has been running much better recently. So, you know. Go ahead, your thoughts.
I mean, I'm very impressed with Rookie of the Year class this year. I was impressed with last year's with Matt DiBenedetto and Brett Moffitt going at for Rookie of the Year. I was impressed this year. I've been impressed this year. We've had 2 very strong rookie classes, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a pretty strong rookie class next year with the possibility of Eric Jones moving up to the Cup Series. I'm happy for Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney is a good friend of, or is a friend of mine, and I always get excited to see friends of mine do very well on the track, and he's certainly doing pretty well. And I think the worst thing I hate, and the worst one in that whole Rookie of the Year race this year, I hate is Jeffrey Earnhardt. His rookie season, he's not even running the full season, and everything hopped up the first part of the year that Ryan Blaney was going to get a full time, or Jeff Earnhardt was going to be full time and go fast. I'm like, well, finally we'll have an Earnhardt running for Rookie of the Year again. And it turned out that it wasn't going to be a full time ride, and sponsorships didn't allow it. And now I understand the sponsorship aspect, but it certainly proves that the name doesn't bring you fame.
Hmm. Interesting. Pardon my lack of knowledge. Who's Earnhardt?
I have a question for.
Go ahead, Brady.
No, I just had a question. He said that Eric Jones is rumored to come up the Cup. Would he still stay with JGR? Because I don't know. They don't have any openings, do they?
The most recent thing I've heard is that Furniture Row Racing will add a second team.
Oh, okay. That's how they're going to do it.
And right. what could be expected is Matt Kenseth announced his retirement after next season.
Really?
Because Kenseth is one of the oldest on the track. It's getting harder and harder for Kenseth to find sponsorship as the Dollar General is leaving NASCAR at the end of the season. So I think it may almost be time for Matt Kenseth to hang up the helmet.
Oh, hold on. Let me get up and do my happy dance.
the big thing I think we're starting to notice is with this new charter, it's going to be harder for our younger kids to move up. And I think more of these veterans are starting to notice that, and I think these veterans are starting to take their eye on some drivers, or put their eye on some drivers. And I'm saying Dale Earnhardt Jr. with Cole Custer, Matt Kenseth and Eric Jones. I heard somebody say the other day that Denny Hamlin may retire soon. Well, with Denny Hamlin's neck,
he's had a lot of neck and back issues.
That name does not surprise me.
And with him having a daughter, I think you would put the daughter as a priority myself.
Yeah. Well, we talked about that back when Jeff Gordon announced his retirement, and we were discussing, that Jeff Gordon seemed kind of young to retire, but we were commenting on the number of times he's hit a wall and hurt himself and everything like that. And then we kind of segued into like Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin's taken a his body's taken a beating, just like Tony Stewart, and it kind of gets stuff sitting in them cars, you're in a cocoon.
These hits are taking a toll on these drivers, and I have a feeling it's going to start. I think Jeff Gordon's retirement is going to start a string of retirements. If not Matt Kenseth next year, I would highly see Greg Biffle possibly retiring. Because of the fact that Greg Biffle has not performed utterly wonderful in the past or in the recent year, and the fact that Biffle is, I think Biffle is the oldest driver left in NASCAR, and so I could see him coming up pretty soon. You got Junior, who is pretty up there in age. You got.
I was
going to
say,
Johnson.
Wasn't Junior and Kenseth together in their rookie year?
Yes.
Yeah, they moved up at the same time, so they got to be similar in age anyway. Junior might have been a little younger coming in, but...
I thought Junior just celebrated a 40th birthday, didn't he? Matt Kenseth is 44. Denny Hamlin's 35. We're talking about some young ages here for race car drivers to be retiring.
Well, Gordon was only what?
Matt Kenseth, maybe not.
How old was Gordon? Gordon was only 40.
He was over 40. He was over 40.
Yeah. I don't think he was over 45, though. I think he was 43, 44. And I'll tell you what, Jeff Gordon, he sounds happier now than he's sounded in years. I think he absolutely loves doing the booth, you know, and I don't think he misses racing. I really
Jeff Gordon,
don't.
Right, Jeff Gordon right now is 44.
Well, it's good to see
so he was 40,
asking.
Probably.
He was 40. Go ahead.
It's good to see somebody actually enjoying Jeff Gordon's commentary.
I really enjoyed it.
I mean, when you put him up against Darrell Waltrip.
Oh, yeah, come on.
You could put a rock against Darrell Waltrip and prove it would be evident.
Well, that's probably why we're – yeah.
That's why we're Gordon.
That's
exactly.
Why – yeah.
You feel like you're getting a contemporary viewpoint. See, with Darrell, it's all old school kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't know what's coming out that's accurate and what's not, to be honest. But
I feel good about the Hendrick attention we're getting with Jeff Gordon. I feel really good about that. I didn't know about Hendrick, and he's really opened my eyes.
Wasn't that the one knock I gave Jeff earlier?
Look, I'm a student of communications. I don't necessarily sense any tremendous bias creeping in. Now maybe I'm just being blind.
NBC coming back. Jeff Burton is a really good commentator too.
NBC has got a good announce booth. I didn't really like Steve Letarte last year because, of course, he had just came off of crew chief and Dale Jr. So of course he's going to talk a little bit more about who he knows. But this season, and we've only been in one race, and a bunch of commercials later. I feel like Steve Letarte's less biased than he was last season. And I'm really liking Steve Letarte. I like Steve Letarte. His voice is perfect for somebody to listen to. Jeff Burton is perfect. I like Jeff Burton. I'm one of the very few people like Kyle Petty up in the booth. Kyle Petty up in the booth or down there on the ground talking about the race after the race. I think NBC's got a good cast of people. But Fox also has good cast of people. But there's people in Fox that I don't really like. There's people in NBC I don't really like. But you're not going to make all NASCAR fans happy.
Well, we're Fox. Yeah, Fox screwed up. They should have when they put Gordon in. They should have left Larry Mack in the booth and taken out.
They realized that mistake though because he kept creeping in.
Yeah. We'll see what they do for next year.
The rules analyst.
Giving Gordon benefit of the doubt, I was going to say, with kind of to your point about Steve Letarte, this is his first season in the booth away from racing. He's what fans listening to the broadcast perceive as a bias possibly towards Hendrick may actually just be an unconscious. You talk about what you know.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, and being
really
in the Hendrick organization,
really
it's much easier for him to pull anecdotes or little bits of information from his time with Hendrick. It wasn't like he was in any other other organizations, so subconsciously he's probably just pulling from knowledge, but it happens to be all Hendrick knowledge, and so they're may appear to be that kind of bias, like what you were saying with Steve Letarte, give him a year or two away from that organization. And, you may hear him talk less and less about Hendrick in that. One thing I noticed about between the two, broadcasts is you know, NBC seems to take a more professional, almost serious approach to race coverage, whereas
yes.
Fox sometimes comes across as the casual,
yep.
you know, little jokes here and there, haha, funny guys, you know, oh, you got me, you know, taco in the 11 car kind of, you know, and sometimes it's like, okay, no, you're just creepy. and sometimes it's funny.
Well, you're
like,
talking
you know,
about one particular person.
Well, but you know, like I said, I've said before, you know, as much as we bust on Daryl, when we first leave Fox and we go to another station,
it's,
you know, I miss that boogity boogity boogity.
Yeah, I hear you.
And I'm not saying that, you know, oh man, I have to have my boogity boogity boogity, but you notice it. Like, it's noticeable, you know, and it sticks out, and you're like, oh, crap,
well,
yeah, we're on a, you know, we're not on Fox anymore.
I think it's particularly noticeable, as you point out, though, Psychic, when you go to extremes. I think your observation's spot on. NBC presents a little stricter, rigorous presentation versus NASCAR's more kind of homespun, hey, we're here rubbing elbows sort of kind of presentation. I'll say this, NBC's coverage on NASCAR got skewered on social media last weekend. I mean skewered for, here we go, it was the old TNT complaints. It was the advertising time. It was, you know, cutting away, and we're not seeing the things that are most important. You know, I don't know how you balance it. However, one person did do an analysis, and it was like 35% of the broadcast time was spent on advertising, 35% of the broadcast area. Now, I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how that compares to Fox. I mean, I have no concept of what Fox is. I think where Fox gets away with it is they do a lot more cutaway, where they're running the race simultaneous with an advertisement. So I think they get away there. So
well, NBC
fans
was
don't
doing
feel
that,
as,
and but
they didn't
you know,
do it as
while
much.
While I appreciate them going to the small window of the race and showing the commercial, it's annoying as hell. How can we squeeze more advertising dollars into this program? Oh, we're just gonna, skinny the picture down, and we're gonna throw up a bunch of advertising.
Well, I'd rather they do that during an advertising break than to cut away completely from the race. I'm gonna be honest with you. I mean, they can run whatever ads they want. I'm watching the little screen with what's going on in the track. That's what I'm watching.
But on the flip side, at least Fox will sit there and they'll shut up, and you know they'll just put the track sound on. You know, I love that crank it up segment. I mean, when I used to have when I had a home theater system, my neighbors hated me because I would turn that as loud as I mean. I had crap on the wall shaking from that. You know what I mean? I loved it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, there's just nothing like hearing, and all the, is 40 cars go whizzing by, man. There's nothing beats that sound. You know what I mean? Unless you're at the track. You know what I mean? Yeah, and you're sitting there going half deaf.
Oh gosh. All right, let me move things around here. We got about 45 minutes remaining in the program. If anybody wants to jump in with us, don't hesitate. 347-826-9964 is how you can get in with us here at the Frat House Sports Garage. And we're talking NASCAR, we're talking Daytona last week, we're gonna be talking Kentucky here shortly, coming up tomorrow night. Our good friend Liz has got some comments for us over in the chat room. She was indicating when we were talking about watching races for wrecks. Hey, do you watch a race for the wrecks or not? She said she doesn't watch the – I don't watch racing for wrecks, but it but if certain guys get wrecked out, I'm okay with it. Also,
as long as it's not AJ, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. She's A-okay with Jeff Gordon, thinks he's awesome up in the booth. And, well, she's a Kyle Petty fan. I've got to be honest with you. I'm not a Kyle Petty fan. I'm just not. I don't know
really?
Why. I am not. No, I do not like Kyle Petty.
Oh, I like Kyle Petty.
No, I don't find. I find most of the stuff he brings is fluff. That's just my personal opinion. That maybe it's me. I don't know.
It might be you.
Listen, you know, I'm going to tell you something.
No,
I
agree with Mike. I'm not a fan of him either.
If there's a guy that's got a position because of his name, it's that guy. That's just my personal opinion. Yeah, I know you love to bring that one up, Sidekick. So I'm just going to say it. That's just my personal opinion on Kyle Petty. But anyhow, let me get over to we were talking real quick before we get out of Daytona. There were an interesting article, and look, I'm going to be honest with you, not that I'm a big fan of SB Nation. Frankly, I find them to be a little bit like Bleacher Report. Aren't they? Let's get it straight. I think SB Nation is Bleacher Report's number one competitor. They had a headline up, and I was drawn to it by the headline, and I'm going to bring it up here for a moment. Because when I first saw the headline, I thought, oh, come on, this is preposterous. But when I read the stat that was in it, I wanted to get everybody's opinion on it. Brad Keselowski obviously won his first race at Daytona last week. Now, that being a restrictor plate. Brad Keselowski, headline reads, Brad Keselowski emerges as NASCAR's best on restrictor plate tracks. All right, everybody got the headline? Brad Keselowski emerges as NASCAR's best on restrictor plate tracks. All right, now, I'm reading that, and I'm saying to myself, oh, come on. Now, here's the stat. Let me see if I can find this real quick. All right, here it is. Following the May 1 race at Talladega Speedway, Saturday marked Keselowski's second consecutive plate track triumph. He now owns four career wins at Talladega and one at Daytona, the most by any driver since 2009. Okay, guys, I throw it out to all of you. Is Brad Keselowski the new restrictor plate king? Who wants to jump in on that one first? Go.
No. I'm just going to say no straight out. I think until, you know, there's Dale Jr. is still probably the best overall restrictor plate driver. Sorry. I'm sure if you add up the wins, he's got more.
Well, okay, now when you think
they did, sidekick.
Okay, they put a caveat on this stat. They're saying since 2009. So there's your caveat.
Crush.
Okay. A sidekick didn't respond. He was looking for the clip.
I'm going to say Brad. I would like to go back and look at the career stats for Junior versus Keselowski, and additionally break it down by.
When they race head to head,
Xfinity. No, Cup versus Xfinity versus, yeah. Because my initial comment was going to be, I just wanted to look at it at the Cup level, but at the same time, I realized they did both race. You know, they both have raced. You know, the mid tier. Xfinity, Nationwide, whatever. You know, incarnation it was. But I would be very interested to see the numbers, almost like a UFC thing, you know, heads up, you know, career wise, you know, number of restrictor plate wins at Talladega and Daytona.
What they call in baseball, we want to see the splits. I want to see the splits in the stats.
Yeah.
You know, Xfinity, Sprint Cup, you know, Talladega. That. I got you. All right. I think that's fair. I think that's
you
fair.
Yeah, because I think, because from a, you know, while I will try to give my, you know, unbiased impression, I think a lot of Dale Jr.'s restrictor plates were much earlier on. And he may have had more of them, but he's been on a drought kind of lately. You know what I mean? And so it's hard to say, because I don't, you know, it's, you know, we talk about always putting them on our fantasy teams. But, you know, I can't remember the last time that Junior's got a restrictor plate track win. You know what I mean? So, and that's why I say I think Junior may edge Keselowski out, but a lot of it's going to be from years ago. It's not going to be, you know, if you go by recent, and that may be why they put that caveat of since 2009.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, prior to that is when Junior was dominant on restrictor plate tracks.
Christian, go ahead. You were going to say something. Throw it at us.
One of my opinion with Brad Keselowski. I've brought this up a lot, and it's just getting added up this year, is the fact that I would almost consider Brad Keselowski one of the best drivers on any track, because of the fact that Brad has won at most of every type of track there is. He's won at road courses, he's won at half miles, he's won at intermediates, he's won at restrictor plates. And that's something that you don't see in Dale Earnhardt Jr. or a lot of other drivers, is the consistency amongst the other series or many other tracks. You look at one driver and go, oh, he's really good at this track. Well, Michael McDowell's good at Super Speedway. That's just because the tables are level. But Brad has been able to go to other tracks, not just Talladega, but be good at tracks like Bristol, tracks like Martinsville, tracks like Phoenix, Watkins Glen, Sonoma. He's been good at all of them. And he's just, in my opinion, one of the best drivers there is in NASCAR today. And I know that one gets me a lot of hate, because a lot of people don't like Brad. But one thing that I've almost said is that Brad Keselowski's style and his driving style and how he won't back down from a fight is almost like what Dale Earnhardt was.
Mm-hmm.
That's just something I've always noticed with Keselowski.
Yeah, I've noticed that as well. But yes, you do draw a lot of hate comparing anyone
Earnhardt
to Senior.
Other than
you know, I mean, you know, I don't
if
care.
The one thing I don't like is when people compare his son to him. I don't like that. I don't think there's very much of a comparison other than how he does at super speedways and how he's able to do so well tracks like that. Other than that, I mean, that's my opinion. I've had that opinion for a good 3 or 4 years now. It was even before I became a writer. I've always had that opinion that Brad is one of the best out there, and Brad's one of the most friendliest drivers you'll ever meet. I've met Brad 6 or 7 times, and he's always a very friendly guy, always takes time for his fans, and that's something you don't see with a lot of other drivers. Which is something that I almost think brings hit. It's something that separates him from his teammate Joey Logano. Which Logano is another one of the very friendly people in the garages to me.
Interesting. All right. Well, just to I just wanted to come back to this for a moment because and I'm not denying, I mean, that many of Junior's wins on restrictor plate tracks may have been early, as you were pointing out, though, Psychic. I just wanted to point this out. I'm sitting here. I'm going, wait a minute. I've seen Junior win numerous races at restrictor plate. He won Daytona 500 in 2014. He won the Daytona 500 in 2004. And he just most recently won. Okay, well, that was, see, I don't even have the Coke Zero in here. I'm thinking of our
that
other restrictor plate. Our other
Talladega,
restrictor plate.
That would be the guy
Talladega. He won in May,
right,
of last year. So just to kind of put that one, I mean, you know, and I'm not saying that he didn't have more races won earlier in his career, but there's three right there, or four, I guess we're talking about. I mean, just within a handful of a couple of years there. So, you know, I don't know. I thought the stat that SB Nation put forth was compelling. I mean, it was compelling enough for me to bring it up as a topic. But I don't know if I could put Keselowski up there as a, you know, I'm not sure. I'm kind of with Brandon a little bit on it. I don't know if I would necessarily classify Keselowski as the restrictor plate king on this one. That's just my personal opinion. Couple other topics here real quick before we get over to Kentucky and get people's thoughts on what we're going to get on that mile and a half tomorrow night. Chris, I want to get your thoughts. We were actually bringing it up a little bit earlier this evening. We're going to Kentucky. Qualifying was washed out tonight. They replaced qualifying, from what I understand, essentially with practice. Maybe they read your article. We'll talk about your article. Yeah, we'll talk about practice here in a moment. You know, because that's what we've been doing here. We've only been
About practice.
Yeah, we're talking about practice. That's what we've been doing here tonight. but we'll talk about that in a moment. But qualifying for tomorrow has been determined by the new rules changes. Gotta love NASCAR for this. I wanted to get your thoughts on these new rules changes that they put into effect this week, which apparently now, from this point forward, if qualifying is rained out or canceled for weather issues, current year team owner points will determine who makes the race. And so tomorrow we've got Harvick at the top, and followed by Keselowski in the qualifying order. And then we fall down from there. What are your thoughts on this new rule? Because frankly, I've already been out on it. I think it's stupid.
For those who said that Ryan Blaney needed a charter, he just got one. That's all. I mean, Ryan Blaney has a slim to none chance of missing a race now. That was the only reason he was going to miss it, was in the case where if they did go by practice times. So.
Oh, there you go. That confirms what Brandon was saying earlier. It's about the non-chartered teams. What it's about.
Yeah, well, I liked the rule. It was the rule before they rolled in the new practice rule. It was the rule. It was at the beginning of season, as far as I know, that was the rules. And then, I mean, it's always been, if practice was completed, we'd run it by practice times, which makes sense, because then you'd have basically just like qualifying, just a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you'd have by what they practiced. and most of the times they run qualifying runs in practice, so you would have a qualifying lineup set by qualifying. But with this new rule, I like the new rule. I mean, it's not one of those where I go, well, NASCAR's changing the rules every day. This rule has been talked about for a couple of years now, and it used to be the rule.
Yeah.
But they went to something different, and that's what NASCAR is doing. They're changing the things that are different, and if it didn't work, it didn't work. We went to something different. And that's what NASCAR is trying to do. This is what me and my uncle were discussing this week on how, why NASCAR is declining, as we talked last week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in the basis where, yeah, NASCAR fans don't like the rules changing every week, but technically the rules aren't changing every week. It may be a rule change here, and most of the time the rule change they fix is the rule change they just changed, or they changed like a few weeks before, because they're trying to experiment with different things. And I like what NASCAR's doing. NASCAR's trying to appeal to fans. And changing rules, yeah, to the older day fans, they don't like it. But the new day fans are kind of like, well, hey, they're trying to attract my attention, so, hey, maybe I should go check it out. And I know me and my uncle discussed the whole ordeal with why the older fans are coming back. Well, the main conclusion we came to is that NASCAR fans can't relate to anybody nowadays. You can't relate to Austin Dillon. You can't relate to Ty Dillon. Back in the old days, you had Dillon where you could relate to. You had numerous ones you could relate to. And now you don't. And that's what he said was the reason why he doesn't like to watch NASCAR anymore, is because he can't relate to anybody. I sure I'd put that piece in there because I told him I would do it.
That's interesting. I agree with you. I like what NASCAR is doing, for the most part.
I mean, NASCAR's just trying to make the product better.
I agree. And at least they're trying. And I think all of us in here on this program are in agreement, at least from the standpoint of many of the broad issues, like, for instance, you know, introducing the chase and now the new chase format. We bought in. I like it. I like the way it's done. I like the kind of playoff format. I think it's good.
Excitement.
I agreed. And you're right. This is what you need to do if you want to attract the newer audience. And you're right. This is exactly what we were talking about last week. You know, how do we get, you know, maybe there comes a point when you need to shed, you know, the old stuffy kind of concern. And look, if it means that they're going to go kicking and screaming, well, then look, you're going to have to go kicking and screaming, and that's the way it's going to be. But guess what? We've got a change to the way society is changing now. It's called evolution, folks. I got you. To me, I found this change to be regressive. Not knowing anything about the background, not knowing anything about the history, I found this change to be regressive, and I'll tell you why. It does not judge the driver on what they're doing right now. I'm going to judge it based on owner points over what you've done over the course of the season. And it's not even based on your performance. It's based on your team performance.
Your team.
To me, that doesn't make any sense. I, for one, think it should be based upon the driver. I find the change to be regressive. That's all I'm going to say about it.
The one problem that you're going to have if you did it the way you're talking about is the fact we've got drivers like Michael McDowell and Jeffrey Earnhardt who don't race each week. So there's drivers that are ahead of them in the points, and sometimes you can look at that kind of as a disadvantage. So with the owner's points, we see how what setting it by owner's points is a good idea, because it like you said, it shows how the team's doing. And this is it's a team sport. It's not just the driver. And I don't think we need to put the responsibility on the driver, because then if you put the responsibility on the driver and he starts poorly in these situations, that driver's His motivation is going to kind of fall, because he's not going to feel like he's actually living up to what he's needing to do. That's just my opinion. I like the new rule. I like the new rule that the fact that if a non-charter driver makes the chase, he's locked in the rest of the races for the season. I like that.
Well, I think what you're doing is you're basically confirming exactly what Brandon had brought up before, and that was that, you know, and, you know, again, I'm still kind of new to the sport, so maybe I've got, you know, I'm not as in tune. I don't see the things as clearly, but this was an attempt to address those non-charter competitive teams. So,
and I think the longer that we go with this rule, with this whole ordeal with the owner's points, we're going to have more non-charter teams because the charter lasts for 10 years. If it lasts that long, but the charter lasts 10 years. So in the case where drivers like we brought up earlier with Eric Jones comes up, he's going to compete harder against those other non-charter teams to make the race. So I think the race is going to get better, not just back or not just in the front of the field, but in the back of the field also.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
I mean, it's a good move.
All right, valid point. A couple other things that came up this past week. You had, Christian, you had reported it up over, and it was reported by, you know, various other outlets as well. Bubba Wallace's tweet, which I got to be honest, I found frankly just outright amusing. Come on. Bubba Wallace got fined. How much was he fined there? $15,000 for his comments following the Xfinity Series race at Daytona last week. Quote, unquote, on his Twitter account, got the Muppets up there officiating tonight. Never know how to react under pressure. What a joke. You know, I don't know. I'm getting a little tired of this is just, again, me personally speaking. I'm getting a little tired of sports leagues getting their panties in a bunch, basically, over their own people calling them out. I don't know. Am I out of line, guys? Seriously, anybody want to jump in on that one? Am I out of line? I didn't have a problem with Bubba Wallace referring to the officials as Muppets. Does anybody else have a problem with that?
Well, the only thing I would say to young Bubba Wallace is he should probably hit the delete button the next time he writes a text tweet. You know, NASCAR doesn't play with that stuff. Yeah, you know, whether you
now, aren't you
like
taking yourself
policy,
a bit too seriously?
Whether you like the policy or you don't like the policy, you know what the policy is, and they've been fairly consistent with it. You know,
instead of going to social media to complain, I feel like you should have went to the NASCAR Hall and discussed it with them.
Yeah,
that is my opinion.
Something else like. Not the outcome we were expecting. You know, really hated to see that caution. You know, that's a Jimmy Johnson thing.
I have noticed is in the case where it would be in the basis where if I went online and trashed the frat house, I mean, you wouldn't like me to do that, would you?
No.
I mean, you know what
no,
I mean.
I'm not going to like it. You know, I can't stop you from doing it. I'm not going to fine
but
you or penalize you.
But I did put the frat house sticker on my banner on my blog now, so.
Appreciate that very much. Thank you very much.
But, I mean, it's in the basis where it would be kind of like an employee going out and saying, hey, I don't like this, or say something mean about a person and hurt somebody's feelings. I mean, I'm not saying we're going to hurt somebody's feelings in NASCAR. Like, NASCAR really gives a crap what you say. But you don't want new fans coming and going to that person's Twitter, and it's somebody that represents our sport with something like that on their Twitter or their Facebook or their Instagram or their Snapchat. You don't want a new fan seeing that. because they're going to go, what does he mean? And then he'll start asking his friends, well, what does he mean? And then he'll start telling them. And that, that's my opinion.
Fair enough.
I feel like he should have known when to shut his mouth.
Yep. Listen, the psychics agree with you on that one. I don't know. Brandon, did you have any comment on anything so far here?
You know what? I didn't see the tweet. But they should know better. Seriously.
Yeah, okay. So everybody, right there.
They should
go.
Know better than to put it out there. They know they're gonna. You know, if they put it out there, they know NASCAR is going to react.
Yep.
Especially, you know, you don't. Yeah, I think it's ticky tack personally, but the same reason, really, you don't have to do it. You know, if you put a tweet out like that, you know you're going to get a fine, and it's that simple. So you know, he paid whatever the fine was for the right to call the officials Muppets on Twitter.
Oh, but then his fans tried to step up and actually ask to pay the fine for him.
Yes, they did.
Well,
started a GoFundMe page for a charity.
Yep.
And I thought that was pretty cool. I liked that. That was a good move.
Well, no, what he
part.
Right. So people understand what he did was he said, "Hey, thank you. I appreciate all your support. You know, it's been wonderful what you've done. You know, to make this offer to me." Instead of doing that, would you go and support fund over here, which is going to support the flood victims in West Virginia? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, he just had that big – in fact, I think he just put that up today, actually, over on his Facebook page. Yeah.
I got home from work.
Yep.
Now, did he delete the tweet?
No.
Like, chronologically speaking, you know, he tweeted he was fined. So is the tweet still there?
I know when I went to report that he was fined, I was able – that's where I got the official tweet from.
Okay.
And that's what I quoted at the bottom of the news story. So as far as I know, it's still there.
Because and that's where I would be over on Frat House Mike's side. If I'm doing the time, I'm committing a crime. So, you know – if I'm paying the fine,
time.
Right? You know,
yes.
if you're gonna fine me whatever amount of money for my tweet, I'm damn sure am not gonna delete that tweet. You know, if you call me up and say, "Hey, if you delete the tweet, we won't fine you." Okay, I'll delete the tweet. But if I'm getting a fine, you better damn well bet I'm not deleting that tweet. I paid for that.
Your money's worth.
I paid for that
tweet,
damn thing.
That tweet just cost me $15,000.
It's staying. I don't care. you know.
I agree with Sidekick on that.
Yeah.
If you're going to do it, you paid for it. You might as well get your money's
worth. Exactly. I'm not, I'll take it down if you don't find me. But, you know, if I'm paying for it, it's staying. Matter of fact, I may pay Facebook to boost that. To really get my money out of it.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I'll get that thing going viral.
one other quick item I wanted to bring up. Something actually you wrote about, Christian, over on your website, the Motorsports News Source. Which I'm going to be honest with you, I had not seen anybody write about on any of the other outlets. I had not seen it, and maybe I just missed it, or maybe you got it and nobody else did. Talking about a little bit of the practice time issues with the Xfinity races last week, the Xfinity teams last week at Daytona. Give us the background on what happened here. Apparently, teams never got out there to practice at all. I guess in what, the final practice because of inspection?
The only practice. I had a couple of people with a few underfunded teams that I did write about, like Carl Long, who came up to me and said, "This is something we're not seeing anybody else address." And they told me basically what was going on. And So I decided that I'd go out and write about it. It would be a good thing. And I went and looked. Nobody else had reported it. So it was in a case where I felt bad. And as many of you all know, I really have a background with the underfunded teams. I have a really big support system through the underfunded teams. And if I can help them out in any way, I will. So that, and the basis where there was a few teams that came and told me what happened and said that they didn't feel like they were done right. And so I went on and I reported about what they had basically told me.
Well, now let me ask you this. Are we going in a pecking order? Is there a discriminatory process that's going on here?
There's not really a discriminatory. It's more in the case where there's not enough people on pit road officiating, or there's not enough people in the inspection area officiating that, and it takes longer. And these teams are further back, and so there could be, but I looked at the list, and I'm not saying that it was because that whole team, all the people that were done wrong were underfunded teams. I'm just saying that the majority of them were underfunded teams.
It just so
happened.
Right.
I just feel how it happened.
Yeah. Now, what was the other question I was going to ask you? No, son of a gun, I just lost it. I mean, it seems to me this is something that NASCAR needs to be addressing. I mean, wouldn't the simple solution here be to schedule inspections at a time when it's not conflicting with practice? I mean, isn't that the simple solution?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I've been in the inspection area, and there's not much to the inspection area, but you would think they would get through it a little bit quicker, but they don't. So, I mean, I'm not... There's some things that can happen, or there's some things that should be done that aren't going to be done, and... I mean, the problem is, it's not Dale Earnhardt Jr., it's not Justin Allgaier, it's not the big names missing practice, so it really doesn't matter to NASCAR. But in the case where there's drivers like Derek Cope, you got Derek Cope, Carl Long, both of them got sent home because they had never had the chance to adjust on their car, and with the single car qualifying, you don't have a chance to adjust your car, and if you do adjust it, it's blind adjustment. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, I feel like that, and I'm not saying NASCAR is targeting those teams, but they're not helping them.
Didn't we see a problem with this guys last year during some of the qualifying that was going on in Sprint Cup?
Atlanta.
At the same time that there were inspections going on, and guys didn't have enough time to get out there to qualify. Didn't we see these problems there?
Michael Annett missed Atlanta because of that. And that's when Circle Sport decided to put Michael Annett with the sponsorship in the 33 car because Brian Scott was supposed to be in that car. I think that was about the same weekend he had said his vows and everybody thought he was the coolest guy ever and the nicest guy ever. And then he turns around and says, well, just put the sponsorship on our car and let Michael run the car because since he had finished so well the week before at Daytona, he was still pretty good in the points. So, yeah, it's happened.
That's right.
Before,
I remember that.
And the sad thing about it, majority of the time, it's the underfunded teams who get affected. Mm-hmm. It's not your big names. And if your big names do get affected, we bend the rules to help them out.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Brennan, you remember that, right? When that was happening last year? When the
That before.
It was conflicting. We had inspections going on at the same time qualifying was going on, and guys were having trouble getting out to do the proper qualifying. And, you know, I think Chris is spot on. I think you're right. Absolutely. It was Atlanta, I believe. But, I mean, it just seems to me it's a simple fix. I don't know. But anyhow. But that's all right. We're going to fine people for calling people Muppets, and we're going to change rules. We're going to change rules that don't need to be fixed. But that's okay. We'll do that, but we won't deal with practice times. All right. Anyhow, we got just a couple of minutes here. I'll tell you what. We're heading to Kentucky here. Now, guys, we don't have much of a history here. We've only got five races under our belt. Tomorrow night will be number six only. Brad Keselowski has won it twice. Kyle Busch has won it twice. As I pointed out at the top of the show, isn't that interesting? We've got a pattern here. Kyle Busch, 1-2. Kyle Busch, 1-2. Kyle Busch, 1-2. Any thoughts? Go ahead. Psychic, weigh in. Any thoughts on, give us your thoughts on Kentucky.
In six appearances at Kentucky, qualifying has been rained out three times.
Yeah.
The previous winner of those two rain out qualifying, Kyle Busch.
Yeah.
So I'm tipping my eat
I'm
my
doing
dust
my happy dance.
Now.
I'm doing my happy dance.
Right. I did mine earlier when we found out Mac Kenseth may retire.
Exactly.
So I'll tip my eat my dust there with that stat.
Well, maybe we need to look at the schedule, and if this is going to be a consistent issue with rain in this area at this time of year, perhaps maybe we need to juggle Kentucky out and put something else in there and get Kentucky in a different spot in the calendar.
Now, one of the biggest things with the past Kentucky races was not the fact that they were rained out. It was because of the weepers in the track. And since then, the Kentucky Speedway, since they repaved this year, since then, the track, they've added a ton of drains. So
right.
You're not going to have the weepers like you had in the past. So today's, I saw a video of it pouring in Kentucky. And,
yep.
I mean, it was flooded some parts of the garage. So, I mean, it's not the weather. We only had one qualifying actually rained out. The rest of them were just because of the weepers. We couldn't drive the weepers, and when you can't drive the weepers, you can't move the schedule around. So why don't you just go ahead and camp the qualifying?
The one thing I will say is apparently, however, though, even with the weather being what it is at this particular time of year in that area, with the improvements that have been made, and I believe that they said that the improvements began at Kentucky shortly after last year's Kentucky race. So it was like at the end of the season and going into this year. With the improvements, there has been an improvement to track conditions following heavy downpours. At least that's what I've read. So apparently it's getting high marks. So, I mean, look, they canceled qualifying tonight in favor of practice. So they knew they were going to be able to get some racing in today. They had to make a determination. They had to, you know, hey, what's our priority here? Is the priority practice or is priority qualifying? Well, with the rule change from yesterday, our priority doesn't have to be qualifying. So, you know, apparently the changes have been positive at Kentucky that they have made just in less than a year. So, real quick, let's get around real fast here, and we'll throw our predictions out there for what we think might come out of tomorrow. In our little challenge that's been going on here, things got mixed up, guys, quite nicely last week, thanks to Daytona and 22 cars getting wiped out. Sidekick, you're still up at the top of the board, but only by 6 points now above NASCAR John. You got 511. NASCAR John's got 505.
That's okay.
Brandon and I now are fighting it out for third place. Brandon's got 447. I got 445. after I picked Kyle Busch to win and he came in second. And poor loyal listener Liz has now dropped to the bottom at 433. Now, Sidekick, I'm suspecting that you're not quite prepared to make fantasy picks for tomorrow. Would that be accurate?
Because it was rained out, I do. Because it was rained out, I do have fantasy picks.
Well, then we got to get this in. All right, you go with those, Sarah.
All right. Well, we're going with Brad Keselowski, Kyle Busch, Martin Truex Jr., Landon Cassel, and David Reagan, and I'm going with Kyle Busch and Toyota for the win on the show team.
Eat My Dust will be
Kyle Busch.
Okay. That's where I thought we were going.
Well, he tipped that earlier. Come on now.
Well, right.
I know. I just wanted to hear him say it. NASCAR John is going with Brad Keselowski. Brandon, you're in third place. Where are you heading?
Well, unfortunately, I already had decided I'm taking Brad Keselowski as well.
Wow. This is interesting. I'm going with Kyle Busch to win. I'm going with Kyle Busch to win tomorrow night. And loyal listener Liz is going with Kurt Busch.
Ah,
there you have it.
Almost a full house, right?
Christian, what do you think for tomorrow night? Not Matt DiBedo, right?
This fantastic new rule package that we'll be running tomorrow night will produce a second win for the number 22 team, Joey Logano.
Oh, man.
Because Joey has won 2 for 2 with this rule package. I think he's going to go 3 for 3 tomorrow.
Nice.
Fastest on the tracks, just for FYI information.
Edwards.
Carl Edwards and Denny Hamlin were the fastest on tracks during practices. So you got 2 JGRs up there, and, of course, you got Kyle with 2 wins at this track in the past. You got JGRs ruling it. And Kyle starting out tomorrow in the hold on. Oh, I just closed out.
Kyle's starting 6th.
6th. Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's where he's starting out. 6th. Okay.
Hey, well, we have 2 minutes.
Go ahead.
Can I take a real quick poll? Because I'm surprised
Absolutely.
We didn't talk about it.
Absolutely.
The end of the race last week at Daytona.
Mm-hmm.
Joey Logano, Kurt Busch. Foul or just racing? What's everybody's opinion?
Well, okay,
that's tough on the restrictor plates, though. I mean, there's air that we're not seeing. Side draft. It's tough to say. You know, I don't think anybody. I will say this: I don't think anybody would intentionally, you know, take somebody out at a restrictor plate. Let me put it that way.
I didn't get a chance tonight to play the audio. I had the audio from the end of the race from last week. I didn't get a chance to play it. I looked at it again today. It did not appear to me, and I'm not the biggest, as you know, pesky Logano fan, but it did not appear to me that Logano did anything untoward. That's just my personal opinion. Christian, what do you think? Yes, no, maybe so.
Error. Infant error.
There you go.
Because I feel Kurt Busch slightly came down on Joey, and Joey was just holding his ground, and Kurt Busch went spinning.
There you have it. So, Sidekick, where do you come down on it?
I just thought it was racing. But, you know, a certain group that we belong to, you know, the judge.
Oh, no.
I mean, within seconds, the Joey haters were out. And I thought there was going to be a big deal made out of it this weekend.
Listen,
it was kind of quiet.
I'm a Joey hater. I mean, I make no qualms about it. I'm a Joey hater. But I didn't even think that there was anything wrong with that one. I mean, and I agree with Christian. I think it was there. That's what I think. You get underneath and that's it. The car's going to move. When you're moving, look, it was the final lap, for God's sake. Honest to God. I don't know. Anyhow. All right. Well, listen, here we go. Let's run it down for you. Tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time, please be here with me for my relaxed Frat House Saturday program. I'll be coming to you at 2 p.m. Eastern time. Recapping everything, and we'll be taking a look at what might be happening. I'm not sure. What is happening in the world of sports this coming weekend? Well, we do have a race tomorrow night. We've only been talking about it. But aside from that, well, we'll get into it tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. Make sure you're here with me for another Frat House Saturday. And then Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time for our regular flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show, number 253, coming to you at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Thursday night. And, well, this program moves back to Sunday next week. So before we get to that, another Frat House Saturday program will roll around next Saturday afternoon. So tomorrow and then Thursday, that's what you need to be paying attention to. Also, get over and give us a like over on our Facebook page, Frat House Sports. Look for our little purple icon and give us a like. Many thanks to our guests this evening. Christian Coley joining us from the Motorsports News Source. Get over to his Facebook page, the Motorsports News Source. Look it up and give him a like, and you'll be able to get to his Facebook page, or to his website, rather. The Motorsports News Source. Do I have this right? Motorsportsnewssource.blogspot.com. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Got it. The Motorsportsnewssource.blogspot.com. There you go. Get over there and check out all the writings that he does over there. Great work over there. We cited quite a few of his articles just here this evening on tonight's program. All right. In the meantime, hey, everybody, get out there and hey, enjoy your sports and enjoy.
Don't forget the Xfinity race is coming on.
In fact, that's coming up. What time? That's on right now.
NBCSN right now.
Right now. That's right. So get over there and check that out. In the meantime, enjoy your racing, folks. Enjoy it all.
Kentucky rain keeps pouring down, and up ahead's another town that I'll go walking through with the rain in my shoes. Searching for